Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
We are live at Hooters Mall of Georgia, guys. Here until 6 today. We're going to be back, but this ends our residency as we've been here literally every open practice throughout the course of camp. We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, glad to have you guys listening and hanging out with us. Today we had joint practices up at Flowery Branch, and we will talk more about what we saw, what impressed us, and what went down. I will say this, though. I've seen some videos, Mike, Calvin Ridley running a couple of routes on A.J. Terrell. And, you know, Ridley, again, guys, he was always a gifted receiver. We knew that. Then went through some of the issues, and watching some of the video, he still got it, man. I mean, look, we maybe don't watch as much about Ridley or of Ridley since he left here, but he still got it, and going up against our corners today, still showing that. But our offense, Mike, looked really good, and to me, that was the storyline today, because we're all wondering what this offense is going to look like against another team with Michael Penix.
Right. I said to Carl, I pulled up here about 9:30 this morning, and just as the Tennessee buses were rolling in, they basically came up here Saturday, so they've been kicking it. You may, as I said to you yesterday, Carl, you may have had Titans walking amongst you. But they rolled in. They got off the bus. They went right to their practice ritual, and next thing you know, we had our ones going up against their ones on two different fields, our one defense going up against Cam Ward in the offense, and vice versa. And one of the first plays, you know, typical Bijan doing his thing, and then we get some play action, and it was a beautiful throw. Michael Penix Jr. to Casey Washington. The ball was in the air for 40 yards. Looks like any of those great throws you saw him do at Washington.
It's true.
Catches him in stride. It goes for, according to our man Mark Ramondi from ESPN.com, a 52-yard touchdown. Beautiful. I mean, and that was what set the tone, and then we were kind of rolling from there.
Yeah, man.
There were some holding penalties and some missed throws on the second series, but still, there was enough to really give us a lot to feel good about.
I did feel good about what I saw with the first team O-line. Holes were there. Bijan was doing his thing, guys. When you talk about being able to run the ball, again, they're not taking guys down to the ground. But when you say, okay, he's picking up on average four yards a pop, you know, he's patient when he gets in the hole and he's kind of looking and trying to figure out what's open, and then all of a sudden, he's gone. But that was there today. But I also like, Mike, the underneath throws from Michael Penix today. Those were throws that you're going to have to make on Sunday, where they're running zone and guys break down and get, you know, they settle into a spot and you got to hit them. And Penix has really done a good job, guys. We talked a little bit about this last year. I think it was the Washington game where he moved a linebacker with his eyes, thinking I'm going to go here, and the plays to the left, and I'm looking right, and all of a sudden I go back. He did it a couple of times a day. He has really got that down where he makes you think he's going where you think he's looking. And that is a veteran kind of thing for a quarterback. So there's a lot of reasons to be excited, man. But I felt good about what we saw from the first team offense.
Yeah, man. Now, again, second team offense, that's where we get some trouble. Storm Norton's been a little bit behind the curve in the way I think we described Jalen Walker, because he's missed some practices because of an injury. So the second team, the depth just isn't there. I mean, the depth, they have bodies, but the quality isn't there. They've got some trouble in the middle of the line. I think that's why they went and reached out to get another center to maybe create some competition for Gwynn.
Yeah.
You know, Parker's a mountain of a man at 6'8". You can't miss him, but his footwork is a bit, leaves a little something to be desired. So our second team offense, but this goes for any team. Maybe with the exception possibly of the Eagles or, I don't know, maybe the Rams, whoever. But we, like anybody else, Carl, cannot afford to lose anything on that offensive line. That concerns me. The other thing, and I said to Carl last hour, if you missed the conversation, is Darnell Mooney and the status of the injury. They're not giving us any information. Did he have a procedure? Is he just simply resting it? Is it going to be ready by, I mean, because what's the deal? Because Darnell Mooney is an explosively fast guy who, unfortunately, because Kirk Cousins went off the rails, he would have been a 1,100-yard receiver last year. Mooney missed the last game of the year with an injury.
Yeah, we're missing, Mike, his ability to stretch the field. I've always thought you'd have Kyle be able to maneuver the underneath stuff. That next level is Drake, and that's right. Where he's working. And then down the field, right, you got three levels, guys. This is where Darnell Mooney was going to excel. And if you're hitting this underneath stuff and you got to come up and defend the run with Bijan and Tyler Algier, all of a sudden, Mike, that stuff over the top is going to hit. I don't know if that's going to be present maybe the first week, maybe right. Two. We don't know if he's going to be back. And that's what we're talking about. Doesn't mean the offense won't move the ball. Doesn't mean we won't score. But you're taking an element away, and now you got to fill the void. And Mike and I have been saying, who's that guy? I really like the job that Casey Washington has done. But that's not to say other guys have not stepped up and played really well.
Right. I mean, guys that have been around this team for a couple of years, like Blair, number 19. We talked about, you know, Drummond had a couple of nice catches on Friday against the Lions before that game ended because of the injury. But I just get a little nervous about this because, as we said, DJ Shark, that was a kind of an insurance policy, but he hasn't really established himself. At least, have you seen anything with Shark?
No.
Day-Day, have you seen anything? No, he's shaking his head. The other thing today, and this is something which, you know, like, I'm not harping on. Guy hit me up on the text line, goes, now you're picking on Rook. No. I just want Rook to be the best. Want Rook to be the badass you drafted him to be. Because you could have had Braden Fisk.
Yeah.
You know, the Rams went and got a guy, put him with Jared Verse. I mean, that's like the argument with Troy Anderson. We could have had Nick Benito, but we had to do something else. So the second round is always a great mystery. The reason I bring up Rook is Jeff Ulbrich addressed the media, Carl, this afternoon. He says Rook is going to be a problem once he pieces everything together. So what's the timeline on that?
That's a good question. I'm hoping it's before we get to the start of the season. Look, I think Rook's very close. He spoke today afterwards. He said he was comfortable as he's been. When you talk about, you know, in his own skin and understanding, like, what his responsibilities are. And you're going to hear this, guys, and we're not, like, over-exaggerating this. It's Dukes and Bell live from Hooters up at the Mall of Georgia location talking about what happened at camp today with these joint practices with the Titans. You're going to hear this phrase, attacking-style defense.
Right.
That is what we're doing. And what that simply means is the guys up front, instead of having a gap, Mike, I get to get upfield and make something happen, okay? And that's why you're saying you want him to be disruptive and you want him to be noticeable, and maybe that's why you don't feel like Rook has been that. I hope that whatever this is going to be, they figure it out before we get to Tampa Bay.
Right. And then the other side of this, we mentioned Rook, Jalen Walker. Ken Segura was up there today from the AJC. He wrote an article that has been posted by the AJC about Jalen Walker's impact is muted thus far. Is he where he needs to be or wants to be? No, he's not. But he's going to get there because of that internal drive, the stuff that we made us draft him at 15 because he's got the Georgia DNA. He's a self-starter. He's super impressive. He's a leader. But again, Carl, there's just a little gap there as far as the reps and the practice days that he's missed, which perhaps is why we haven't seen him explosively or at least popping the way we've at times talked about Pierce.
So do you guys remember before the draft when I was talking about size matters and how I would take Mike Hill over?
Right.
Jalen, this is part of what that discussion was about. One of the reasons why, and listen, I'm not talking about what he's doing with the 49ers, and I'm not regretting getting Jalen Walker. But when we talked about this, this is what I was talking about when you talk about 6'5", Mike, 295, whatever he is, and being able to settle in on the edge, and now you're bringing in a guy who's a hybrid. Okay,
who's 6'1",
because that's what he is.
Right.
Not saying his ability's not there. We know he's a playmaker, but it's a different kind of element. And now you're asking him again, and I've been saying this, and this is why I got to be patient. You're asking him to do some different things. They're going to create ways for him to cause havoc, but this is just not a dude you go, I need you on the right side, handle your business. That's not what they're doing with it.
Right, and that's why, I mean, we had even guys hitting us up on the text line that were at practice today saying, Jalen's getting smothered. He is getting swallowed up at times by good tackles. We've seen that happen in our practices, and it did happen on some of the video that's been posted today by some of the media members. I understand your concerns. No, we're not. He's not going to be – I don't think, Carl, they're going to cut bait after 3 weeks. This guy is projected to be out there on the edge. So don't take
what
we're
saying. He'll be fine. I'm just telling you that's the fundamental difference when you start talking about why you draft this guy over that guy.
You can't coach 6'5 and two and the kind of things that Pierce brings. And that's why I said at the night of the draft, who knows? Pierce might actually be the guy, because of all the things you just talked about, the better fit. But Jalen, guys, we're not crapping on George. We're not crapping on Jalen. Guys, their antenna go up. It was funny. We had all the media and all the, even the Tennessee guys are joking around. Whatever we tweet, you know there's going to be a firestorm because people take it and they run with it. Just Jalen, I'll attribute this to the fact that he's missed some time in practice.
I do too. And again, I'm not all off him. I'm not thinking this is not going to work. I just know that there is a learning process that he's going through, and I'm okay with that. And this is where you want that to happen. You know, this is why I was concerned about him missing those reps early on. And it wasn't like he didn't want to play. Matter of fact, Raheem told us, guys, every day he was like, Coach, I'm in there today, right? You got me. And Raheem was like, no, because we don't want this to linger through the course of the season. We want you to feel completely healthy. So they held him out probably longer than they needed to, but they wanted to be cautious with him. 404-726-0929. You're going to hear our interview with Cordero Hodge coming up in about 20 minutes. Grant's on the way as well to talk some Braves as they start a series with the Mets. Mets are sliding, and it's Spencer Strider tonight. We'll get into that conversation and talk about where the Braves are as well. The good news is, guys, and just on the other side of the ball, because we're talking about the offensive side, DBs did a good job today. And I'm talking about this video with Calvin Ridley. But as I said, today Jesse Bates did have an interception in the joint practices today.
Right.
And it shouldn't surprise you. Jesse Bates has been Jesse Bates, okay? Whatever we've become to expect from him, that's what he's been showing in practice, and Jesse does his business. But Cam Ward, who's the number one overall pick in this year's draft, it was a ball that was tipped in the air by cornerback A.J. Terrell, and so, you know, they got that. Xavier Watts appeared to have a clear shot at the interception, and then Bates ran over and you know, made the play. But the bottom line is, like, the secondary didn't get embarrassed today,
right,
and Cam Ward didn't tear us up. That's encouraging, Mike, when we have all these competitions going on in the secondary for nickel and, you know, we talk about the dime package and, or more importantly, the other side with the cornerbacks and what that's going to look like. There is a true battle going on over there. So it's good to know that those guys were communicating, talking, and making plays yesterday or today.
Yeah, man, and I know that it's a work in progress to see these guys develop. The funny play today, and it was near the end of the segment, we had everybody. That's when all the teams came together right on the main field.
Yes.
When Cam Ward throws a ball that gets deflected, and it was literally like we had Xavier Watts on after we drafted him from Notre Dame. He goes, I'm out of my game after Jesse Bates. Well, him and Jesse Bates are back there, and the ball's up in the air, Carl. It seemed like one Mississippi, two Mississippi, and like Bates is like, me? You? And Xavier's like, no, you take it. And so then he clears out the space. He makes a key block. And that would have been a pick. We've seen this before, right? Jesse Bates winning a football game. But that's the kind of stuff we got to see already today at the scrimmage. I loved it.
I did too. So, look, if you're asking areas of concern, not many today. I thought the DBs did a good job. Creating turnovers and knocking balls out or passes down is great. Offensively, if we were moving the ball, if this was that, and we had to move the ball down the field, we would have been able to do that, especially with the first team. And Mike and I said this, first team offense is great. The concern is depth. If, in fact, we have an injury occur, how does that O-line get affected, and who is going to be the swing guys? You mentioned, you continue to talk about Storm Norton not being out there. Like,
right,
that's the concern. So that's why we're watching closely this second offensive line.
My biggest beef, it's Mooney. I think Diablo is pretty good. I mean, I've only seen a little bit.
I do too.
But Diablo seems to be a dude that, you know, looks like he can do the job. We know Caden Ellis and Ulbrich's, you know, defense. I think they are going to give him a chance to really pin his ears back a little bit more. And that'll be great. And that's what you want. You know, on days, and I know you talked about Brian Baldinger saying, you said he needed a bigger sample size. But there were some times at practice today where, yeah, let's get there. Let's finish. You know, are we finishing enough? Hopefully we'll do that tomorrow. See that those edge rushers get some more of what would be counted as sacks.
We need more of them. Hey, man, Grant McCauley is going to join us. Braves-Mets tonight, 7 o'clock. Spencer Strider, we'll talk to him about Spencer's last start. He needs to improve, guys. If he's going to be out there, Mike, we need to see progress. That's what I've told you. I want to see progress from all these guys who have been struggling to the end of the season if you're going to have them out there. We'll talk to Grant next.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Let's talk some Braves, guys, because they get the Mets, and the Mets are struggling. I think Day Day asked us a question yesterday about who we would love to see struggle more. Would it be the Phillies or the Mets? I said the Phillies because, well, I just don't like them. But we got a chance to put a damper into the Mets.
Seven-game losing streak, man. I mean, the Phillies have got a six-game lead on them right now.
It's big. Let's talk to our buddy Grant McCauley. Tonight, Spencer Strider on the hill. What are you expecting from Spencer? We talked about what he did last time, which was obviously, you know, something that he wanted to improve on, even though it was against a really good hitting ball club. Talk to me about Spencer and where he's at right now this season.
Yeah, I feel like there was a few things at play in that start, and one of them was that the Milwaukee Brewers, I think, have removed all doubt of who the hottest team in Major League Baseball is right now. Not only did they beat up and sweep the Braves, they went right to the Mets and took it to them, swept them as well, and continued to keep their miseries going. They've lost 10 out of 11 coming in. So losing streak and a downward spiral right now for the New York Mets, who really need to get it figured out. And Spencer Strider wants to make it difficult on him. I think there was some stuff I liked in the last start, or that you need to see closing out this season. Now, one of those was, I believe, his highest average fastball velocity in a start. Now, what did that result in? Well, a lot of hits and, unfortunately, a couple of home runs and a bunch of runs on the board against Strider, who didn't get deep in the game as he would like and ran into some trouble. But I was pleased to see that that velocity is holding and trending up. You needed to see that, and I think that's kind of the importance of the innings that he throws this year, because Chris Sale talked about this last week, and obviously Chris is going on his rehab assignment tonight because he wants to come back and pitch. They believe that these innings are important to lay the foundation to come back next year with no questions and feel like, hey, I can go out and make 30 starts and throw the innings I'm supposed to throw. So, yeah, you'd love to see the numbers every time match up and have it be a great start. But if he's getting these innings and continuing to trend in a lot of the right directions, which I think he is inside the numbers, maybe not so much in the line score every time, it's valuable innings for Spencer Strider.
Is the Money Harris adjustment at the plate going to start off next season where he will bat 300 for a whole year, which would be the dream?
It'd be a great dream. And I think that for Michael Harris, he would love for that to be the case. And that's been the weird thing about him. And I talked about this on Sunday on From the Diamond is, you know, this is the first year where it had nothing to do with a back injury or a hamstring injury and a long stint on the injured list. It was more of a, can he figure out how to adjust and get his season on track? And the answer initially, you felt like might not come this year. I mean, we were all the way into the month of July. And I think even the staunchest supporters of Michael Harris, myself included, were starting to wonder, well, what can he do to get this figured out? Because it's not a day off and come back and you're going to reset. You're going to have to make some serious adjustments, and that's exactly what he did. He's comfortable. His swing decisions are better. He is also hitting the ball harder and more frequently and to all fields. You add all that up, you got the hitter that we're seeing right now, and that's always, I believe, been inside there. He just had to figure out a way to unlock it. So I'd love to see 162 games of that plus that defense. I think it would make him an elite center fielder in all of baseball.
Yeah, and you know, we've had this discussion, even an argument or two, Grant, along the way, where I've said the fact that he's the or one of the best center fielders in the game, does the defense make up for the offense? And you've always argued, no, he has to be more of a complete player. Okay, so consistency is the key there, but that's for all these guys. It's not just for Money Michael Harris, right?
No, it is for everybody, but I think when you look at, and this is why I would say that for Michael Harris, it's not as easy as, you know, saying, well, his defense is solid the way you can with Nick Allen. Now, I would also argue that you need more out of the shortstop spot, offensively speaking, than Nick Allen has been able to give you this year as well. But the way the lineup was constructed was, if we're getting production in right field and center field and left field and first base and third base and second base and catcher, shortstop's okay. And we're getting a DH that, you know, hopefully is going to do some damage too.
You weren't worried
about that. But Michael Harris was one of the variables that you needed to have more production from. So it's not to be hard on him, and certainly not to take anything away from his defense, which is premier. You just needed more out of him, and consistency is 100% the key.
More of what we saw at Falcons camp, plus the big story in college football today involving sports gambling.
For sure.
Star quarterback coming up in just a bit. But it's Braves Talk with our man Grant McCauley. Grant, Chris Sale, you've been talking about his progress. So I know we debated the merits of having him back out there because of what it means to the staff, to, heaven forbid, he takes another injury. But what is the timeline, and when do we see him?
Yeah, he's eligible to come off the injured list on the 19th. So if we do some simple math, like today is the 12th, so you know, you might see him get one more side session. Maybe he only needs one rehab start. Maybe he makes a second rehab start if you need to feel the need to build the pitch count more than it is. He threw 30 in the live BP. He could have thrown more. So I'm interested to see tonight for Gwinnett how many pitches he throws. I was thinking 65 to 70, maybe a bit more, but that would probably be on the higher end for me. You certainly don't need him to throw 85 or 90 pitches to prove he's ready and just get him on back out there. But he felt good. It just took a few weeks for him to heal those ribs. But ultimately, yeah, he's excited about the opportunity to pitch again and said, like, I don't care what the record is. I'm a competitor. I've got a job to do. I want to go out there and do it. And more than anything, or with those things in mind, I want to be ready next year when the bell rings to go out and have my full allotment of innings and feel like I can get there.
Grant McCauley joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking Braves, Mets, guys. Coming up, you'll hear our conversation, that is, with Cordero Hodge here as we had a chance to catch up with one of the best special teams players, not only for the Falcons, but in the NFL. Why are the Mets sliding? What's the situation? Why? What's going on?
Nothing is going right for them is the short answer to it. And I feel like this has been a strange season for them insofar as they did a lot of things last year, especially in the second half, that you just didn't think that this Mets team was equipped to do. Then they went out in the offseason. They addressed their rotation. They added a little bit to the bullpen, and they signed some guy named Juan Soto. So you kind of thought they were going to be trending up all year. But Soto, and you can't put it all on him, he's kind of a down year. I think Pete Alonso has clearly done some good things this year, but Lindor has been, I feel like, a little more human. And then they've had injuries just like everybody else, especially in the rotation. So a lot of inconsistency, and he's not hitting. I mean, does this sound familiar? We know a club that has had some trouble with that this year, and that's where they are right now this particular time of the season. They call it the dog days of summer, and it is eating the Mets alive. And as you mentioned, Mike, I mean, they are sliding in the standings. They're right in the middle of the wild card, so there is a backup plan, if you want to call it that. But, yeah, they're fading very quickly, and if they're not careful and don't get this thing right, the Phillies could run away and hide with the division, and the Phillies aren't even really that hot right now.
The Brewers claimed a 10th straight game in a row. I mean, they've done that twice, and I know that I'm not a big fan of – I thought Snicker should have won Manager of the Year, but Pat Murphy's pretty good.
Yeah.
Castle couldn't get him over the top. Is this the year, Grant? Because it looks like we're going to be watching from the sidelines, but is this the year the Brewers actually win it all? Because, man, they've been basically like the Braves were for so much of the 90s, winning divisions but not breaking through.
You know, and I don't want to be a naysayer of the Brewers, but you know who they remind me of more so, and they spend a little bit more money, obviously, is the Tampa Bay Rays. They excel at areas in baseball and development, particularly catching and pitching, which are two things that can take you a long ways, especially that last one. They just do so well with it. So even when they lose somebody and somebody moves on and they got to replace them, it just seems like they've developed another pitcher or they've unlocked some level of someone else who's maybe underperformed at this point, but just finds a way to step up and step through. And now they've got, I think, a really good team, a well-rounded team. You know, a lot of starting pitching that's doing its thing. They've got some impressive players all around the diamond. I mean, Willie Adames leaves, and the Brewers somehow get even better. So not often do you see that kind of thing, but they seem to just kind of reload. They're not really ever rebuilding. They're just trying to figure out a way to level up the squad they have and put a few more pieces in that hopefully make them better.
Grant, good stuff. Let's see what Strider does tonight. Hopefully guys continue to hit, and we will talk to you tomorrow, my friend.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Grant McCauley with us, talking Braves, guys. Yeah, look, when things go astray and it's not your year, which it's not, I certainly don't want to see the Mets and Phillies do well. That's just what it is.
Right.
And when we are rolling and we have beat them up the last 7 years and own this division, you know, they've not wanted to see us complete the deal. We were able to do that once, Mike, in winning the World Series. But, you know, some people get, I guess, like, well, don't you want the World Series to come to you from your division? No. I don't want to see the Mets get a World Series, and I certainly don't want to see the Phillies get one. But with that said, you can hurt their chances and put a little damper in their positioning if you handle business up there.
Right.
This week.
You know, again, it's the guarantee. It's money. Spending the big coin is no guarantee you're going to win a World Series. That's time-honored. Having one of the best lineups in baseball is no guarantee, because the Braves would have had 5 or 6 under Bobby Cox. But this one for the Mets, it is kind of fun, because that owner is very easy to root against.
He is, because he's a big spender, and he shows off, right?
Him and Cohen and Tepper are like the same guy. Tepper, that horrible Carolina owner.
Yeah, he's terrible.
Little Cam is here, by the way. The guy looks like Cam Newton, big Panthers fan. But there's just these Wall Street big shots, Carl. I think they just buy and sell people.
No,
they're awful people.
They can, and they fire people so easily. That's like Dave Tepper. He's fired all these coaches, right? Surprised he hadn't fired Bryce Young yet. Hey, man, we were at practice today. Joint practices, they went well. You're going to hear our conversation with Cordero Hodge coming up. One of the best special teams players in the game. But we will fill you in again on what went down today. Lots of positives for the Falcons. It's Dukes and Bell live at Hooters Mall of Georgia.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, man, wrapping things up, guys. Our last broadcast of our residency at Hooters Mall of Georgia, thanks to some new friends we met at the bar and some old friends like Jerome. By the way, if you are an Alabama fan that will give me 17 for 100, just hit me up at Mike Bell ATL. But earlier today at Falcons practice, we did talk about, you know, a lot of great plays on the offensive side, and the defense looking good. Real quick, Carl, I promise I meant to pay off the tees.
Yes, sir.
Tennessee media, real quick before you get to Cordero Hodge. Tennessee media, what are they saying about us? Well, things are bad when you're the worst team in the NFL. That's why you got the first pick. Teron Davenport covers the Titans. Overall takeaway from the first Titans practice today is not good. They seem sluggish to start offensively. I'd say that's accurate. A lot of balls on the ground. Struggle to run the ball in the team period. Meanwhile, Michael Penix Jr. and the Falcons cut up the Titans secondary. One practice, no need to panic, but it wasn't good today. That's what coming from Tennessee. And I thought Michael Penix to Drake London really did carve up that secondary.
I did too, Mike. And again, they may do some different things tomorrow to give us a couple of different looks and see. You know, they're going to change some things up and work on some things. But bottom line is our guys look good, man. And if we can carry this momentum into the regular season, again, Michael Penix probably will not play in that second preseason game, as Ross said today. We're still waiting to hear about Kirk Cousins. Mike, it's probably 90% that he might not play either, right? I mean, they're not giving us a number, but that's what I would tell you based on the reps that those guys got today.
And just for the guys to keep hitting us up about, what about this, what about that? Tyrod Taylor goes down for the Jets, so there's really no strong backup for the Jets. And he's not going to sign off on a trade where he's going to be a backup to Justin Fields. That's never going to happen. The one you and I stumbled onto is the Rams. If the Matthew Stafford situation continues, but does Sean McVay look at Kirk Cousins as a better option than a $3 million Jimmy Garoppolo?
Absolutely. I don't want anything to happen to any of these guys, but if it plays out that way, yeah, you finally may have some of the options we've been talking about. Speaking of options, it's good to have guys like Cordero Hodge on your team. And he is a guy that can do a lot of different things, including winning football games for us like he did against Tampa last year. You'll hear what he had to say about that moment, as well as what he has going on in his life right now, as Mike and I had a chance to catch up with one of the best special teams players in football.
So, man, what did you get out of today? I mean, joint practices. Coach Rob was talking about getting some quality work in. How did you feel about it?
I felt great, man. It's always good to go compete against other teams, man, to see where we're at. I felt like we had a good practice, but we got to keep getting better and better every day.
Cordero Hodge had two of the biggest plays of the year last year, Carl. He helped you win the Tampa Bay game in overtime.
Always about you.
Amazing catch. And, of course, you were like the guy one-man gang against the Raiders, baby. So do you feel you're underappreciated as one of the best special teamers in the league?
Never, but I don't worry about appreciated or underappreciated. I just go out and do my job, man. I got bigger goals this year. Of course, first team All-Pro and Pro Bowl, two-time Pro Bowl. So I don't want to be a one-man, one-hit wonder. So right. I gotta repeat and improve myself more. So that's what I'm going to do.
Speaking of that night, take us back. I mean, I'm talking about the Tampa game last year. Take us back, man, from the catch to the celebration in the end zone. Your teammates are chanting your name. The crowd is swag surfing. It was bananas.
Yeah, it was that whole – I tell everybody to this day, man, that whole situation was like a movie to me, bro. And it was like, yeah, one of those crazy endings in a crazy movie, bro. It was slow-mo, but then it kind of speeded up. Once I caught it and slipped out of a tackle and I seen green, I knew, like, yeah, it's over with. I usually have a celebration in my head of, like, not know what I'm going to do, but I kind of blacked out as soon as I crossed the line. Next thing I know, I see Bijan and everybody else running to the sideline. Yeah, it was crazy, but the whole thing was like, yeah, it was definitely one of the best feelings I've had.
It's Cordero Hodge, as you mentioned, Pro Bowler, special teamer, wide receiver for the Falcons here on Dukes and Bell. 6-3 we were last year, man, on top of the division, and things obviously went the other way. You feel like this team can get right in the playoffs with Penix. Seems like there's a good energy with this camp.
Yes, we definitely can. We just keep putting together the small pieces, getting better day by day, and never get comfortable, you know. We got to stay hungry. It's a long season, 17 games. We got to be hungry the whole season, never get comfortable with records, and just every day respect our opponent, but come out and win and dominate and compete every week.
For kids out there who might be listening, your journey to the NFL is unique. You didn't necessarily go to a big D1. You in the SWAC.
He's SWAC.
And you had to come make a team, man. I mean, how difficult was that? And talk about that journey.
The journey is what I really appreciate about the game. And I think the work is what really makes you appreciate it and where you've come from. And I made, like, a lot of decisions that I wish I could have went back. But then at the same time, I'm like, I appreciate it because I went through that for a reason. So I appreciate my journey, and like everybody has a story, and especially in this league, and that's why you see a lot of guys come out here and work as hard as they do and celebrate as hard as they do, and they make a play that could look small to you, but to them, from what they've come from, that play could be like life-changing to them, and it shows like the work they've put in. So, man, yeah, I appreciate the journey I've done, man. I've, like I tell anybody, I've come from nothing, but I'm never getting comfortable.
Pro Bowler, man, Cadarrelle Hodge, giving a message for you guys out there. Listen up here on Dukes and Bell. That's the thing. When you get opportunities, just like the Tampa game we talked about, you're going to make the most of it. What is Zach Robinson telling you about your role this year?
I don't really know, to be honest. I'm not going to lie, man. I just kind of go out every day and improve my worth on offense. But you know why I'm back, and I think a lot of people in Atlanta know why I'm back, and that is to ace my roles in special teams, and that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do my role as to the best I can. And when I'm in on offense, I'll do my best as well, and I'll take advantage of every opportunity I get.
So special teams is unique. Every team in the league needs guys like you. I talked to a couple of coaches, and they were like, man, we'd love to have a guy like Cordarrelle Hodge. Why is it so hard to find guys that are versatile like yourself that can do all the things?
Because really special teams, man. You got to come out of it. It's all dog, all want to. I'm, to be honest.
For real?
You got to, yes. Like, a lot of guys don't want to do it. And you just got to come out and have that mindset that I'm going to win. I'm going to win my competition. I'm going to win my battle. I'm going to do this. Like, every week, like, it's hard to just keep getting hit in the mouth every play. And you know what you're going, you know what's coming every play. So it's hard to find those guys that bring that type of energy and consistency to a team. And then you can plug them in on offense or defense and have that same production from them, so.
And Cadarrelle, with the new rules, man, I don't know, how do you feel about it? Because fans, we miss the old kickoffs. And I mean, the big hits, I get what the NFL is trying to do, but man, that's football.
Yeah, man, it's me playing in the old ways and this way. It's an adjustment for me, too, especially the kick return is so different, bro. I was cool. I was cool with the old school way. You know what I'm saying? Right. It was a lot more violent, but you know, we're trying to be safer nowadays, so. It's growing on me, so I'm not gonna say I completely hate it because I see what they mean, but I'm still 85% the old way for sure.
Right. No doubt. What are you doing in the downtime, man? I mean, obviously camp, you're here every day. I mean, the Titans are in town, but what's Cordarrelle Hodge doing in his downtime?
Downtime right now, man. I just I like to rock out, so you know, I had to make it all make sense, man. I just bought me a guitar last week.
Hey. What?
Yes, sir. I'm full Hendrix. I'm bought in.
I'm a drummer. Carl can play bass.
Let's crank up the band.
What got you into it, man?
Man, I always wanted, like, I did music as a kid, but I was on trombone then. Like, I was good, but it wasn't something. I just wanted to do it because we couldn't play, like, football until seventh grade.
Right.
And I actually enjoyed it, but I feel like the guitar is something I always looked at and I always, like, looked at in church. I grew up in the church, and my guys knew it, but I never took the time out to try to learn it. So I was like, I feel like I need to make it all make sense, because a lot of people ask me this question when I'm rocking out on the field, like, do you actually know how to play? And I'm like, I'm la 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 la. So I'm like, I actually got to learn how to play it so I can be more confident with everything.
Hey, it's a discipline of its own, man. You know? So maybe it helps you mentally with other stuff.
It does, though. That's also something that helps my mental discipline, and also doing acting as well.
What?
Yes. That's my main thing after football. So I'm taking acting classes right now as well, and sharpening my tools as the season goes. So that's something that keeps me calm and takes my mind off the game for a minute.
You saw Bijan was doing some acting last year. He played a bad guy.
Yeah, that's my guy. We went on a couple things together. Me and Bijan be talking here and there about some stuff. So yeah, it'd be pretty cool. We link up after football and everything.
So you got an agent for that?
I'm working on that. My team, Clutch doing their thing. Okay. I say Clutch doing their thing, reaching out to different people. But, we working on that.
The only other thing I got for you is, I know you love ball, but what about that baby girl?
Oh, that's my number one. Yeah, baby girl, and I actually got one on the way.
Oh, congratulations.
So, two under two, Irish twins. It's crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, but we're excited, man. I just found out I'm having a baby girl actually Sunday. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, man, it was a crazy feeling. I was praying for the boy. I'm not going to lie. I was playing for Blue. I wanted to get my boy out the way, man. So if I have another one, I wouldn't stress it. But the pressure's on. The pressure's on for three right now, bro. But
wow.
I love my baby girl, especially my girl right now, man. She's my heart for real. She's the reason I go home, and it's a whole, like, I forget everything that happened during that day. So, yeah, that's my number one.
The videos y'all make, man, are awesome. Brother, I love it because that age, you just can do almost anything with them.
And she actually be, like, ready. As soon as she see the camera on, she lights up. So I'm like, yeah, she's a natural. That's what I like. Yes, we have a lot of fun together.
Cordell Hodge, man, appreciate you. Good luck this season.
Thank you.
Such a good dude, man. And a couple of guys are saying, you know, I'd never heard Cordell Hodge speak before. We've had him on. He was the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week for that performance against the Raiders. When, let's be honest, Carl, without him, we don't win that game.
Yeah.
Remember, Ritter was actually driving down the field at the end. That was ugly as heck. But Cordell Hodge, with arguably, had we gone on to the playoffs last year, one of the big moments, that catch in overtime that we talked about, his celebration against Tampa Bay at that Thursday night game. One of the best Falcon games I ever went to.
Well, and it was crazy because guys were genuinely happy for him to make the play. It could have been any one of our other stars. I don't know if it would have felt as good. Like, it was the most random guy that you would think could win a game in overtime. Like, Cordell Hodge just ran it. And literally, remember, Cousins hits him, Mike, perfectly. Like, right. That, he's on the run, and it's like, boom, nobody else could have got it, and to the house. So, anyways, I thought that was really cool, man, but he's so good at what he does, guys. And look, we don't talk about these special teams guys as much as we should because we don't pay attention to that until something goes wrong.
Right.
Somebody returns a touchdown against us, oh, who blew it? You know, you talk about the block kick. Until something happens, we don't pay attention to it, but he's so fundamentally sound in what they ask him to do. A really good dude, and I'm glad he's here with the Falcons. Hey, man, as we have been talking about what's been going on today, is one of our listeners came up and said, man, it sounded like the Falcons did pretty well today. I think they did.
Thought they did really well. I mean, you know, again, not going to throw cold water on it. I'm looking for positives, man. You know, we played the worst team in the NFL. That's why they got Cam Ward, because they had the number one pick in the draft last year. So talking to some of the Tennessee guys, you know, they're excited. They said they're excited about Cam Ward. They say Cam Ward's a leader. And I was asking him about the Shedeur Sanders phenomenon. I said, it's kind of like he's drawing all the fire. You're like, there's nothing being written about Cam Ward. And the guy said, yeah, it's true. He goes, there's really nothing out there. So now Cam Ward's got to be better. And it'd be interesting to see if Shedeur Sanders could actually finally get on the field, despite him being now listed as fourth on the depth chart for their next game.
Yes.
In the preseason. And actually, Cam Ward turns to poop. That would be ultimate irony, but we shall see. I'm excited to see where it goes.
I am too. Hey, man, Chris has got the night show. Stay tuned. He's coming up at 6 o'clock tomorrow. We're back at camp. We will have the latest info from another joint practice as the Falcons prepare for their second preseason game. And, guys, it's really about getting ready for the season. We'll see some new matchups, some new things tomorrow. We'll be talking about it, so make sure you're here starting at 2 o'clock here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Before we get out of here, got to give a big shout-out to everyone that's come through over the last 3 weeks. We've not been out here every day, but we've been out here almost every day,
right,
at Hooters. And we love the folks. We love the management, all the people that made this happen, not only from the radio station, but also the folks and the executives at Hooters. Big shout-out to Bruce, man.
Yeah, thanks to Bruce Scala. And, of course, our cast of characters. You know, I mean, it's from Jerome to a baby Cam to a Jim to, I mean, this guy we went to dinner with last year, and that guy over there, and those dudes in the back that we bought shots for 2 weeks back. You know what I mean? And the guy with the kid yesterday, and the kid was cute. I know I don't like children, but they were very cute yesterday.
They were very
cute. So all
cute.
The people that have come out and shared the experience with us.
Yeah, and the first-timers, too. We had a lot of people who just come out and said, man, I hear you guys. I listen to you guys all the time. We love you, and we just want to come out and meet you or take a picture or whatever. So thank you, guys. It means so much. You know me. Without you, there would be no us. So we right mean on. That. We love you guys, and thanks for making this our home away from home, certainly during camp. And we'll be back up here, obviously, once the season starts. Don't know the exact dates, but we're going to be back up here hanging out. Hopefully, guys, we're talking about a winning season and a lot of excitement when we come back up here during the season. That's what we want. All right, man, wanted to give everybody a shout-out. All right, Big O, we got to get out of here and clear our throat. Hey, man, thanks to our guests today. All the interviews online at odyssey.com. We're back tomorrow. Morning shift up at camp as well, along with Andy and Randy. We'll be there. And then we are back in studio tomorrow to bring you the latest on what went down. So make sure you are here. Day-Day, great job. Big O back at the studio, as always. Appreciate you. And our on-site engineer, Slim. Appreciate you, bro. Hey, Mike, clear your throat.
Hey, man. This situation in Oklahoma is going to be very interesting. John Mateer, who we saw at SEC Media Days, transferred from Washington State. If you didn't see the news today, somebody went back and looked at his Venmo. You got to hit the private button on that. From back in 2022, and allegedly sent some money to a friend, and it was for sports gambling, UCLA, USC. I would have just said lawn care or lunch. But either way, it's out there, and now they're turning this thing into a federal case. I never really agreed with Joel Klatt from Fox Sports, but I got to agree with Joel on this one. He posted earlier, we're paying guys millions and millions of dollars in a basic free-for-all, and we're going to get upset about $250, and we don't even know what it's about. Let's get some perspective here. Joel Klatt's on point. Let's give this a break, man. Don't get in bed with gambling. And I know you can't have guys gambling on games, but if this was just an innocent bet placed as a freshman, let's get over it.
I totally agree. Hey, we found out today, and as a matter of fact, I think Day-Day and I were talking about it. For those of you who remember the sitcom What's Happening,
yeah.
It's crazy, man. You think time flies, but I just remember like my older brothers and sisters watching it. There weren't that many black sitcoms back in the 70s right. to begin with, first of all. But What's Happening was one of the early and best sitcoms between 76 and 79. Child star, best known for her role as Dee Thomas, passed away at the age of 60, Mike. She's a Tuskegee alum, which I did not know.
She was perfect comedic timing. Remember the awesome. One, the looks and the stares she would give?
And she was the perfect annoying little sister. That's what she really was.
Right.
But she passed away at the age of 60. She would go on to reprise her role in a series sequel, What's Happening Now. Didn't really pop off like the original. But the point is, man, you remember some of these child actors, and now it's like, man, another one. We've lost another one. So rest in peace to Danielle Spencer. That was her real name. Her character's name, obviously, was Dee Thompson. Hey, we're back at you tomorrow at 2 o'clock, man. Thank everybody here. Give yourself a round of applause, man, for coming out and hanging out with us at Hooters. We love all you guys. Hey, if you love the show.
You tell your friends.
If you don't.
You missed that episode of What's Happening when the Doobie Brothers had a strong message about illegally recording concerts.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.